This is the podcast you're looking for.
You are part of the Rebel Alliance and the traitor. Take it away.
Coffee with Kenobi presents Rebels Reactions with Dancy and Corey Club.
Hello and welcome to Coffee with Kenobi, Star Wars Rebels Reaction. Corey and I will review, discuss, and analyze the new animated series, Star Wars Rebels, and share our reflections with our listeners. For our second show, we will discuss the exciting news from New York Comic Con.
Trisha Barr of Fangirl Blog, Del Rey's Savudu, StarWars.com, and Star Wars Insider was gracious enough to give us her exclusive reflections on what Pablo Hidalgo had to say about Star Wars Rebels. Here's Trisha's report.
This is Trisha Barr recording from the New York Comic Con post-Rebels panel on Saturday. I'm going to talk about my notes that I took. There was a lot of good world-building information, and I thought I would share what we learned today. There was a Once Upon a Time panel previous to this panel, and there was actually some pretty good retention between the two panels. Pablo Hidalgo did the presentation. He said he was asked by LFL to bring fans up to speed for the show Rebels that was going to debut on Disney XD. First thing that Pablo discussed was he said he was going to set some expectations and that they are just kicking off the animation process. So we weren't going to be seeing any big trailers or character presentations in the panel. He noted that Dave Filoni had just gone to Asia to get the team up there up to speed on what they wanted from the show. Simon Kinberg wrote the premiere, and Greg Weissman was working on scripts. Pablo recapped the Celebration Europe 2 presentation. He said the key message from that presentation was that Dave Filoni reminded people that this series was highly influenced by the work of Ralph McQuarrie, and that the art team had gone into the archives to see original pieces to see how the brushstrokes and the lay of the art had been done on the original pieces. The concept art that was shown at CE2 had been speculated that it was Sisamon, the grassland planet, that Ralph McQuarrie had drawn, and that was an EU used it as a starting point, that artwork, for how they created Alderaan, but it's not the same artwork. Pablo went on to show some transmission towers that were concept art for Rebels, and then showed a combined piece of artwork that was the towers, some of the earlier mounds, and then also the TIE fighters that Dave Filoni had done. But the gist of the panel was to talk about the opposition that our heroes were going to face, which was the might of the Empire. And there was some cheering when that was mentioned. There had been some speculation about when Rebels was going to take place, and Pablo said he was going to debunk the rumors that the show takes place 14 years after Episode 3. For the while, the Empire was a welcome change and people wanted stability and security in the inner rim worlds and were inspired by, in his words, fervent patriotism for the Empire and the stability that they brought after the galactic war that they had faced. He went on to give quite a bit more world building to sort of set the stage of how the Empire had worked after Episode 3, what had happened, how they had expanded. Empire wanted to expand by pushing out into the Outer Rim territories, and the planet that we are shown is Lothal. It's in the Outer Rim territories, and it existed beyond the Republic. It was a frontier world, and the Empire doesn't invade it with full force. They don't have the resources even or explained that to just do these full-on invasions. So what they would do is work to get a leader elected in place who is friendly. He said it could be a guy or a girl who is loyal to the Empire. And a lot of times, especially in these situations as Lothal was a poor planet. This was the description used. It said, imagine Lothal at the end of a rail spur that no one ever uses. And the Empire says, you will be the start of a new rail line. And it sounds very promising to the citizens. Lothal is mineral-rich world. And they started out having quotas for the Empire, and it started out reasonable, and then they got a little more unreasonable, and then those quotas became oppressive. He also explained that in addition to the minerals as being part of their assets for the world, the key resource was their people, and he unveiled an enlistment poster, and the citizens are encouraged to enlist and become part of the Empire. And then we started to get into the stormtroopers and some explanation on that. An image of the animation model for the stormtroopers was put up, and then we were given the George Lucas's explanation of the difference between a clone trooper and the stormtrooper, who was inside the suits. And according to George Lucas, as relayed by Pablo Hidalgo, the clones stopped production and stormtroopers were volunteers. And the lab-grown clones exhibited too much individuality, and volunteers of these fervent supporters of the Empire were actually better soldiers than the clone troopers had been. And later on in the Q&A, it was asked about the clone troopers, and Pablo explained that some of those clones ended up being trainers. They were aging twice as fast as a normal human. Some of them ended up being trainers and teaching stormtroopers, sort of what the Mandalorians were doing for the clones. And then some of those clone troopers perhaps decided that they didn't really want to be part of the fight anymore, or maybe they were cast off. So we might see them in all different sorts of ways. There's plenty of possibilities, an infinite number for ways to see some of our favorite clones again, and maybe some new ones. Pablo explained that they couldn't use the models from the Clone Wars, so everything that we're seeing, all their assets are being recreated. The stormtrooper that we're seeing is a Ralph McQuarrie painting brought to life, essentially, for the stormtrooper. He also showed the packaging that will be used on the toys that will be coming out. You can see the Proto Rebel logo. It looked really good up on the big screen when he put the image of the Rebel packaging up. You know, it has the stormtrooper head there, bold on it. And he talked a little bit about there's some homages to the Kenner action figure in the design of the blaster that they're using for the TV show. It's not really my area of expertise, but I'm sure some people want to look into that. Then he put up the models for the TIE fighter pilots and talked a bit about where the TIE fighters got in and out, accessed their fighters. And in the movie, there was some discussion. They came in from the back, and there was blueprints that confirmed this and the look of it. But then that created a problem with Darth Vader's fighter, because he couldn't have climbed out the back the way it was designed. But they ended up deciding on this version of TIE fighter, that they would be accessed through the top, which aligns with some later designs we saw in the freighters that actually transported these ships around. Then he revealed the new ATDP pilot, and he said it's sort of a combination of the AT-AT and then the AT-ST look. And he talked about Joe Johnston's influence on the look of the original trilogy. He said he helped design the Falcon and Boba Fett, obviously, were some of his influences. And so there was this Walker. He showed several preview images of the Walker looks from way back in the day that had been used. And then we have the ATDP Walker, the all-terrain defense pod. The speeder bikes are from a Joe Johnston design. They telescope into the body for easy storage. And then we got to see a squad of troopers, how they would be transported by the Imperial Troop Transporter that comes from a Kenner toy. Pablo said he was happy that they left the turret in, that it was the cutest gun in the Empire. So we got to see the old commercial. He pulled out one of the original Kenner vehicles of the Imperial Troop Transporter that they have used. And he talked about the TIE fighters resembling the toy of the Kenner art, which was based on the Ralph McQuarrie art, not the actual movie TIE fighter. So that's where you see a little bit of difference. Anyway, then there was a lot of good talk about how they had the great email debates on the design of the TIE fighter that we ended up seeing. And then that all fit into the episode one freighter design of the Gazanti freighter by Doug Chang. And I hopefully said all that right. That's out of my notes. They added some TIE fighter racks onto it. So this is our new capital ship that we're seeing in Star Wars Rebels. Then we got to look at the Star Destroyer, which of course everyone loves. And they said they're going so far as Joel Aaron is examining the film stock to make sure that they're capturing the look and the effect of it. And one of the interesting things is that when they made models back in the day for the original trilogy, the ships were modeled down to, you know, very small size. He's saying, you know, I think it was like 4 feet for the Falcon, and I can't remember the exact lengths. I didn't write them down on my notes, but he says when they create them in for computer graphics, they are real size, so that when they can just say, here's the Ghost, the ship, and here's the Star Destroyer, and this is how they would line up if they were to cross each other. So there's no scale. Everything within the computer-generated world is to scale. And so he showed some images of how the Ghost would look if it were transposed up against the Star Destroyer. So he said, but these weren't necessarily from the show, but we could get an idea of scale from that. One of the things that Pablo brought up at this show is really going to remind us in that episode for A New Hope that the heroes are the underdog in this, but that they do have hope. Unlike Anakin or Obi-Wan in the prequel trilogies, when they lose a fighter or they were to lose something that they needed, things aren't going to be replaceable. So if they crash your ship, then they're going to either have to repair it or find a new one. This is going to create complications for the heroes. He noted that the heroes have conviction and mentioned that the heroes, we weren't going to see any information about them at this panel, that they would be saved for another panel for someday. And that was how he left it with them. And then obviously we had the great reveal of the bad guy. The villain is the Empire's Inquisitor, which he had the dual blades with some type of circular handle also in it. Has very much of the Darth Bane look to him. And his job as Inquisitor is to hunt down the Jedi. And in the Q&A, there was a question about would we see Jedi, some of our old favorites. And there had been concern, I know, from some fans about that Jedi had been mentioned in the 15-second XD teaser that went up. And he said they definitely don't want to diminish the fact that Luke was the, you know, his importance in A New Hope and that he was the last of the Jedi, but that there would be some Jedi that were still around that needed to be hunted down, and that's what the Inquisitor's job was. So somehow that will all tie in and everybody can begin to speculate and have fun with it. All right, from the Q&A, there was a question asked about, are we going to follow the same heroes around or will the story jump around from character to character? And the answer was that we would follow the same heroes. There, you know, might be some room to show other things, but really the show is going to follow those characters. The Inquisitor's role Pablo was asked Pablo was asked about that, is he sent out if they believe a Jedi are involved. So he wanted to remind people that Order 66 is very important thematically to Star Wars, and they're not going to diminish that. Or Luke's role as the last of the Jedi. He said the Inquisitor is pre-existing in Star Wars lore. I mentioned previously, talked about the clone troopers and their aging and how they'll be fit into there. And the George Lucas ideas, they are very cognizant of them, but, you know, they're try to keep them in mind as they go along. They were asked, specifically, he was asked if there were going to be any Clone Wars characters, and he really couldn't answer that, but he said to remind you that the people involved with the show, most of them worked on the Clone Wars, so I'm sure if anybody's going to give it a college try, they will. You know, we'll hope for the best. They were asked about the name of Ghost, and what did it have a bigger name, and the answer was that the pilot of the Ghost had given the ship that name for a specific reason, which we would find out, and that was pretty much the answer. Pablo was asked about the music. He said no announcement yet, that Dave is working about it and that he listens to specific John Williams music as he draws. Pablo was asked about any difference between the Cartoon Network and Disney XD. He said the schedule is quicker. They have a much faster turnaround and not anything in subject matter that, you know, as far as changing anything. And also asked if the characters will die, Pablo said it's tonally based on A New Hope and that there's a lot of shift in that. So the villains will do evil things. And so if you can just think about the things, the good things and the bad things that happen in A New Hope. And there was much fun had and much witty banter, but also we had some pretty epic moments of sadness. So I guess that gives us an idea of what we'll see from this. So, you know, we're 5 years away from A New Hope. He reminded us that knowing that we're 14 years after episode 3. Anyway, again, so this is Trisha Barr from Fangirl Blog, and you can find me at Fangirl Cantina. And this is my report on the Rebels panel for Rebels Reaction. Hopefully I shared what I saw in the best way I could and you guys enjoyed it. Thanks.
Well, Dan, what a great recording Trisha gave for us. Definitely her reflections on what Pablo Hidalgo had to say. A lot of information there, a lot of world building, like she said. I think there's some really great nuggets of information. What do you think?
Thanks again to Trisha for going ahead and doing that for us. She was at the panel and she took some copious notes and was kind enough and gracious enough to record her thoughts and send that to us. And we really appreciate that. It was awesome to have someone there carrying the Coffee with Kenobi coffee mug around for us. So we really appreciate that. I was intrigued and fascinated. I think my favorite things, I mean, of course, we need to talk about the new villain that was revealed, the Inquisitor. But I'm excited about the fact that we actually have real information now. We know the time period, 14 years after Revenge of the Sith, 5 years before A New Hope. Basically, a lot of things that we talked about and fans have speculated about after the teaser trailer were pretty much debunked after this. What kind of jumped out for you?
I was really surprised at the timeline, because I think we originally had said, maybe people were rumored around saying like 7 years after, 9 years after Revenge of the Sith. So I think the time frame is really interesting to me, because maybe basically it's 5 years up to where we meet Luke Skywalker and obviously the original trilogy. So I think it's a nice little time frame to basically put in maybe original characters, original trilogy characters into this series.
Yeah, and they'll be subtle because...
I would hope, yeah.
Yeah, Hidalgo said they're going to follow specific characters. And the thing that's important to me, and I know that Chad, our buddy the Chicken Horse, talked about on the Tales from the Cantina with Joa, which hopefully you all downloaded. That was a pretty good show. It's not going to diminish Luke Skywalker's role as the last of the Jedi, he and Obi-Wan and Yoda. And I think that's critical. That's important. You've been building this stuff up for a really long time now, so you have to honor that, and I'm glad they're going to. I don't want them to mess with that sort of thing. And a lot of people are really excited. I know I am, because I don't want to see Luke and Leia. I mean, maybe at the very, very end of the entire series, but let's see what we've got going on here. We're being introduced to New Worlds Lothal. I think that sounds pretty cool, that idea of this frontier planet that the Empire, they sneak these leaders in with a lot of charisma to try to win everybody over. I love that idea.
Absolutely. And like you said, Dan, they're going to follow a nice, maybe a tight-knit group of rebels taking on missions. It's going to be very kind of scrappy, very dark and dirty, where if, you know, they've got a ship or something like that and it goes down, that they need to either repair it or find something new. So it's,
that was cool.
Yeah, it reminds me of kind of like The Walking Dead, but in Star Wars. So it's like, I don't know, it's survival tactics.
Is that a good show?
It's an excellent show.
I've never, I can't believe we've never talked to this. I've never seen that show.
You should get on that.
I will. Speaking of getting on that, how much do you love the fact that they're doing homages to Kenner action figures? They're modeling the TIE fighters. Apparently the McQuarrie concepts were more pertinent and relevant to the design of the Kenner action figure line. So the TIE fighters look like that. They determine how they get in and out of the cockpit. And even the Stormtroopers blasters are going to be homages to the Kenner action figure, which I love. And it seems like we're always, every other show we're talking about the Kenner Stormtroopers now. So if you don't want to spend, you know, $3,000 on a 6 foot tall Kenner replica action figure, we can just watch Star Wars Rebels and see those little blasters all the time.
I think it's a great way to basically look back at, you know, make the old new again.
Good point.
To make it, I mean, obviously you're reaching into the big fan base there too. Definitely with the drawing on the action figures and talk about the transports, connecting a lot of that old stuff and making it new again for basically a whole new group of fans to be able to enjoy. And I love that. I love that.
Tricia mentioned in her report that the tone, the temple is going to be similar to A New Hope, where you see a lot of tragic things. So I don't think anyone who's paid any attention to Tricia's notes here or the video that was released on StarWars.com, which we will have posted up on our website, CoffeeWithKenobi.com. I don't think a lot of people should be too nervous anymore about this series. It looks like the tempo is intense. They've said the characters will die. There will be a lot of victories and defeats. So I think I'm really excited now, much more so than I was a couple days ago.
Oh, absolutely. I think this is a great way to get into the series. And how about that new villain, the Inquisitor?
Yeah, what do you think of him?
It's interesting. I really thought Vader would be the main villain, but I'm okay with him being kind of in the background, just kind of directing, pulling the strings, if you will.
Did you really think that Vader was going to be the main villain in this, or Hope? Was it your new Hope? I never thought that he'd be a feature villain because I think they'll dangle him in front of us.
Yeah.
On occasion, just like a little carrot, if you will. But they, I don't know. It's sort of like with the Clone Wars. They put Asajj Ventress in there at first, and everyone was just like, oh, geez, another random character inserted, or, you know, like they did with Grievous at first. But people end up loving them, and people love the Star Wars villains. I think he looks cool. I don't think that his presence automatically means that Vader is moot, or people are worried that, well, what about Darth Vader being the one who helped destroy all the Jedi? Well, the line says he helped the Empire hunt down, helped the Empire. It doesn't say he was the only one who did it.
Right.
He's the main driving force. I don't think this takes away anything from what Vader did or didn't do. There is one thing I want to mention, and I noticed that Mike, the Cantina cast, picked up on this too, because he and I were chatting about it online, but the Inquisitor looks like the brother from the Mortis trilogy, and I'm sure that's not an accident. I don't know. There's been rumblings about how the Inquisitor is not new to Star Wars canon, or at least the idea of him, and I am completely unaware of his impact on the Star Wars universe to this point. That picture of him was the first I'd seen, but it really was interesting, and I'm fascinated to see what kind of connections are there to the brother, or was just the fact that there's some sort of homage there as well.
And Dan, is it just me, or are all Sith Lords bald?
That must be part of the deal. Is there any of them? The only one that has a luxurious mane of hair would be Darth Tyrannus himself, Count.
Yes. Well, he's more of a count. Yeah, he was. Yeah, I don't know. Yeah. He got to maybe keep up his good looks for the Senate. I don't know.
Sure. Do you think that when he's in the Jedi Temple, do you think he uses a lot of power with his hair dryer, getting the hair to look like that?
Well, he uses the Force, obviously.
Well, true. And then the lightning takes care of the static.
Sure. Static cling. We don't want that. You want that messing up your thing.
Ladies
there.
And gentlemen, this is quality podcasting entertainment.
Hey, these are
you
good
won't
thoughts.
Find anywhere else. That's right. So I think the Inquisitor is just another person. I mean, the Sith, for their rule of two, the beauty of the Sith is that they can't even honor their own rules anyway. So we have no idea what the dynamic is with him and the Emperor and Vader. I mean, this could be really fun. We could have a rivalry going on. We could have, you know, is Starkiller going to show up in this? I'm excited to see what he means for everybody.
What else is interesting, Dan, is like, this is like canon. This is canon. Everything that comes out now is going to be canon. So
I'm assuming so.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I don't see why it wouldn't.
Well, here's the thing that makes me feel like it's going to be. Otherwise, why would they be putting all this effort into it?
Yeah.
George Lucas had notes. I think my favorite announcement, thing that got me the most excited when I heard Trisha's report, was the idea of Lucas explaining the difference between clone troopers and stormtroopers and how they stopped production on the clone troopers. They're aging twice as fast. They're more independent. And the stormtroopers were just like these gung-ho volunteers.
Well, like Trisha's report said, Pablo explained that people embraced the Empire for the first possible 14 years.
But it just adds that verisimilitude, that semblance of truth that makes Star Wars so cool. Star Wars is always at its best, like it's been said by Kyle Newman, that when it doesn't stick to being in the real world, but it adds nods to that, this just makes it, there just adds more gravitas to the whole power of the Empire and the Rebellion and the whole rising up thing. I really am excited to see how the Empire takes over. And no offense to the prequel trilogy, because we love the prequel trilogy, but we're going to have to look at the politics so much as far as getting to that point. Now it's just getting guys going over and being charismatic and persuading everybody. I guess that's political, but it just doesn't seem the same as a bunch of people arguing and debating in the Senate. You know, does that make sense?
Oh, that makes sense. Yeah, I think it's going to be, like I said, we're going to focus on this tight group of rebels and their storyline, and you know, obviously the Empire's gonna be huge, and it's gonna be their story of how they basically combine to make a rebel alliance to, you know, defeat the Empire or uphold their truths, uphold their rights. That's gonna be a political part of it, I think.
I'm not gonna worry about it, because everything that we've seen, everything that's been revealed, pretty cool. It's just very promising. Anyone who is worried, and I know I made a big deal about the voiceover, I have since found out from one of my sons that every single thing that's advertised on Disney XD has that guy doing the voiceover. So,
oh, really?
He has nothing to do with Star Wars Rebels, so everyone can collectively sigh and rejoice in exultation, because you don't have to worry about that. I'm happy about that, and that makes perfect sense too.
Well, here's the other thing, Dan, too, is like, they know what they're doing. Dave Filoni and that team.
Yeah.
I mean, if you guys saw the online video, we'll post that too in the show notes. They had some background behind the scenes of kind of the team that's working on this. And obviously, they excel at what they do. They're craftsmen. They're obviously storytellers. And they're going to do it right. They definitely want to get it right, because that's a story we all love and characters we all love. So I think they're going to definitely do a good job.
And they're working. It says they're working twice as fast. They have this down to a precise moment of measurement where they can define these Star Wars characters. And now it looks like Dave Filoni is the new George Lucas as far as the animation goes. He does say that he's been in contact with Lucas about stuff. I wish that someday George Lucas would just publish like his Star Wars Bible. We can just say, hey, this is all my background stuff. This is how I came to certain things. This is what these characters do. And I already mentioned this, but that stuff with the stormtroopers, I am eating that up. I love the stormtroopers. And that, did you see that Entertainment Weekly propaganda poster about joining the Empire with all those stormtrooper helmets?
No, I didn't see that. I'll have to check it out.
Oh, really?
No, I didn't see it.
It's really, really cool.
That's cool.
So I think that actually it's on our website.
I should check our own website. That's what I'll do. I'll check out coffeewithkenobi.com after this.
But yeah, it's on there. The poster is really cool. It just shows how the Empire makes it seem glorious and glamorous to join up and fight for the Empire. It makes more sense that this is how the Empire put their net over the galaxy. Now we've got stuff that we can explore. George Lucas, again, gives back to us. And I do hope that we know he's giving a lot of notes, and he and Dave Filoni still go to lunch and still talk. I read an interview on IGN today about that. Let's hope that he still has his input in there. We stay true to George's vision, and it looks like they are. They're expanding on it, working in collaboration with him and Kathleen Kennedy and JJ. So I'm very excited. Rebels sounds like it's going to be even more than we dreamed, which is wonderful.
Yeah, definitely. This is a great start to a brand new series, and I'm really looking forward to it.
So that's going to do it for our second show of Star Wars Rebels Reactions. Thanks again very much to Tricia Barr for sending us her exclusive comments and reflections, her notes from the Rebels panel. And we've got more exciting stuff coming for you from Star Wars Rebels Reaction, from our show's Coffee with Kenobi.
And don't forget, Dan, this is the podcast you are looking for. If you'd like to respond to a question on our show, or have a comment, or would just like to say hello, send us an email at feedback@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or if you have a specific question or comment for us individually, email us at danz@coffeewithkenobi.com or coryc@coffeewithkenobi.com. Or visit us on the web at coffeewithkenobi.com and click on the Contact Us section or comment on one of the stories featured on the site. If you enjoy the show, please write a review on iTunes. You can like the show on Facebook at facebook.com/coffeewithkenobi, as well as keep up to date on our Twitter feed at twitter.com/coffeewithkenobi. If you enjoy the jazz music, download the album Eye to Eye by Steve Torok on iTunes.
Give the evacuation code signal.
Don't forget to send us your comments and opinions on our topic for show number 7, The Role and Rights of Fandom. This is the podcast you're looking for.
This podcast is not endorsed by the Walt Disney Company or Lucasfilm Limited and is intended for entertainment and informational purposes only. The official Star Wars website can be found at www.starwars.com. Star Wars, all names and sounds, and any other Star Wars-related items are registered trademarks and or copyrights of Disney or their respective trademark and copyright holders. All original content of this podcast is the intellectual property of Coffee with Kenobi, unless otherwise indicated.
There's no one here.